I'd like to invite Helen to come and speak to us now. This is a lady who comes highly recommended. By me, anyway. So, Father, I just want to pray for Helen as she brings your word to us this morning, Lord. Yeah. Just that you'll inspire her, Lord. I just pray that her words will be filled with your power. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Well, this is a really mini one this morning, but hopefully the one point I make will... will be easy enough to understand, and we're going to be praying over when we have communion later, so bear that in mind as I go through these things. Though it's the talk is called What Not to Wear. Some of you might remember a program called What Not to Wear. I loved it. I love programs like that. It's a very girly household, our household. Poor Pete, even the cats are female. So what we wear and what we don't wear is obviously a big topic of conversation very often in our house. And of course, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 that we shouldn't worry about what we wear. Verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then, on another occasion, Jesus seems to be critical of someone who didn't pay enough attention to the dress code. In Matthew 22, starts at the beginning, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited into the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. And again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything's ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went on their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' These slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless." I've always thought this was a bit strange. What were wedding clothes? How come it was so noticeable? If all these people had just come in from the streets, then how come it was so noticeable that this one person didn't have the proper clothes on? It's always struck me as being a bit odd. But it seems the king, the father, had laid out this great feast and abundance of good things for the wedding celebration, but the ones he had already invited didn't seem very interested. They were rude to the servants who went to tell them the feast was ready, even killing some of them. Jesus was talking to a crowd here, and some of the crowd were antagonistic. Some of them were Pharisees who were out to trap him. That we read that in the next few verses. So what Jesus was saying was that if the religious people of the time, the people who thought they were invited, the Jews who thought they knew what it was all about, if they couldn't be bothered to come to the wedding feast of the Son, if they didn't recognise the significance of what was going on, Then the king, the father, would send out servants to all the people, the good, the bad, even the Gentiles, and he would invite them all in. And, of course, they came. And they were very thankful to be part of this great feast and celebration. But when the king came in to greet the guests, he sees just one guest without the right clothes. The point was that the people at the wedding were there by the gracious invitation of the king. They'd come to celebrate the wedding of his son. And as a picture of the kingdom of heaven, we are part of it by the grace of God. We believe in his son Jesus, and so we become part of the church. We become part of the bride of Christ. We come in with an attitude of humility, hopefully, and thankfulness. But somehow, someone who'd got in who wasn't thankful or appreciative, they weren't wearing that kind of thankfulness. And the king couldn't quite believe that somehow someone had managed to get in like that. As we come into the kingdom, we definitely come as we are. There's nothing we can bring that in any way entitles us to come. We become a child of our Father in heaven when we believe in his Son. We become part of the family, and so we're invited to this celebration, to this wedding. I wonder if you've ever been to a family do, and some elderly relative or someone you haven't seen for a long time will come up and say, "Oh, I know you, you look just like your mum," or "I know you, you look just like your dad." And but that's the point. That's how we get in to the family. That's how we become part of the bride of Christ and get into this wedding. That's what's supposed to happen here at this wedding. In Galatians, it says, Galatians 3:26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We put on Christ. That's what we're supposed to be wearing for the wedding. There's a couple of words for garment or clothing in the New Testament, and the one most often used is just any kind of garment, any kind of inner or outer garment. But the word that Jesus uses for this wedding garment is one that specifically means outer garment. It's kind of what shows on the outside. And it's the noun of the word that is translated "put on" in this passage and in lots of other passages in the NT. In Romans 13, Paul tells us to put on the armour of light and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, he tells us to put on the new man. And in Colossians 3, we're told to put on the new man again. And Paul goes into some detail what this new man looks like. In Colossians 3:12 it says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, invited, in other words, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." So now we begin to see why the king spotted the guest without the right clothes. In the room full of people, Jesus was saying that even among the motley crew of people brought in from the streets, including the Gentiles who wouldn't know the correct religious way to do things, nevertheless, they all came having put their faith in Jesus, and they had a good heart towards the king's son and were wearing humility and gentleness and compassion and love. They had taken off their old man with the accompanying unforgiveness and anger and lies, and the only one who hadn't done that was easily spotted. I was saying I love those makeover programs. The one that Katie and I are particularly fond of at the moment is called How Do I Look? And we love it. The presenter's brilliant, and she always wears fabulous clothes, which is one reason to watch it. But also, because the women they have on the show arrive wearing the most bizarre things. It's an American program. And they've had women turn up dressed as pirates. And this woman, really, every day, she got up and she dressed as a pirate. That's how she went out. And they've had women come, and one of them was wearing tutus. She wore tutus all the time, like lots of them. And it was she was kind of dressed like a circus performer. And these women are obviously struggling in relationships, in jobs, can you imagine? And there's just all kinds of very weird people. A lot of them wear clothes that are like teenagers' clothes and they're in their 30s or 40s or even like prostitutes' clothes. Like some of them really dress very weird. And you think, what is going on in their heads that they think it's a good idea to dress like that? And they go through some quite tough manoeuvres on the show. They do all kinds of things to make these ladies see that they're dressing in a very weird way and to try and show them that they can just be normal, attractive, healthy-looking ladies and they don't have to dress in these weird ways. And as they try on different clothes, they stand in front of this big mirror, and it fascinates me because there comes a point in all of them, in all the programmes, and you see that moment when they begin to buy into it. You see that moment in these women's faces when they look at themselves and they suddenly think, oh, yeah, maybe I could just do this. Maybe I could just wear these nice clothes. Maybe, you know, the lies that I've been telling myself, maybe they are lies. Maybe actually all these other people, their family and all these other people, you know what these American shows are like, all these, maybe they're right. Maybe I could actually just look like a nice, attractive woman in these ordinary clothes. And it's weird, and they begin to buy into the process, and then, of course, in the end, there's the big reveal, and everybody's in tears, and it's all sort of wonderful. But why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for these ladies just to change their clothes? But I think it's kind of, it's a picture, obviously, of us. And so we come to Jesus and we clothe ourselves in something completely different. And it's like a mini picture of what's going on. And you listen to these ladies, these women, the lies they believe about themselves and the lack of self-esteem, the insecurity, it manifests often in quite an aggressive image that they carry around with them. It's the outer garment that these women put on to face the world. And of course, they don't need it. Now, how truly transformational these things are, we don't know. You know, what happens to these ladies after they leave the studio and they go away again? Hopefully, they do stay looking relatively normal. They don't all go away and dress up as pirates and circus clowns and things again. And I know on one level it seems quite superficial, but they are touching into deeper stuff. And obviously what these women really need is the transformation that comes from knowing Jesus. But even this pale imitation of that, if you like, is very challenging to these people emotionally. And taking off our old man and being clothed in Jesus can be very challenging for us too. And on one level, it happens to us when we first believe. As Sally was saying, we need it every day, don't we? We need it to be, that work of inner transformation just goes on, really. And we can take big steps. Very often we can take a big step and we think, great, that's good, I've been made over. I'm on my way. But also sometimes it just comes in little steps. There are habits and insecurities and ways of thinking that we may not even be aware of, unforgivenesses perhaps, that we may not even be aware of, but they show sometimes and they spoil our wedding clothes. And so we are going to have communion now. We are going to have communion now, aren't we? Yes, husband's nodding. That's good. So what I was going to say was, why don't you ask the Lord to show you if there's anything, old stuff that you need to put off and any new stuff that you need to put on. In 2 Corinthians 18, it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." The mirror that Paul's talking about may not be this huge full-length, you know, fancy job, as in how do I look, but its reflection is more valuable. And there's a decision to make. And the transformation will be deeper and more lasting than these ladies in this programme. So look into the mirror. Look at the glory of the Lord in the mirror. And just pray about that. Just think, okay, what is it that I need to put off and what is it that I need to put on today to affect that transformation, be it small or large, and so we can all be clothing ourselves in Jesus Christ.